Thank you all. So today's seminar is about things to consider when you're trying to set up a side gig. I mean, to be fair, I got put down to do this, and I didn't really think much about it. And so this week I was thinking about, well, what am I going to talk about? Because there's a lot to consider. So I got a bit of inspiration from from Rob. So during our Bible study on Tuesday, Rob was doing some exposition about gifts on Romans chapter 12, especially 6 to 8. And he talks about, you know, people have got different gifts. So there is a biblical perspective to this, that God has given us different gifts, and it's how we know those gifts and how we use them to different things, you know, whether it's prophecy, service, teaching, encouraging, whatever it is. So I'm going to focus on three themes of things to consider. So the first stage is, the first thing to consider is the idea stage. So it's about embracing your gifts. So the very first step is to genuinely reflect on our God-given gifts and passion. This is, you know, what are you naturally good at? What do you love doing? What problems do you enjoy solving for others? Don't chase money. So don't think about money. Don't think, oh, this influencer is making so much money, so I want to run into doing it. And this is not just for the adults. This is also for the young kids, you know, the young teenagers and adults coming through. It's also for them too. It's about looking at what it is that you've been gifted to do. So I think one of the things that Rob highlighted was, like, it encourages to embrace the specific gift that we've been given. So are you an encourager? Perhaps you can go into something like coaching or motivational venture. Are you good at serving? Maybe a practical service business. Are you organized? Perhaps something to do with administrative support. And so with the gifts you have, you can also think about ways of enhancing those gifts, like, you know, like through training. So, you know, doing practice, and also try and get feedback from people as you do this. So it's all about focusing on the things that you have a passion for and that you're very good at. I mean, like, I do know that, like in African culture, for example, it's a case that if a father is, a lot of times to try and get the kids to do, either become a doctor, an engineer, or a lawyer, or an accountant, or something along those lines. And if the father is a doctor, then the first child has to be, you know, there's all that there. And I had my cousin who, you know, he spent years training as a doctor. He studied becoming a doctor, and then he came over, and he never wanted to be a doctor. He just, that wasn't his gift. And he's now like an IT specialist now. And if you speak to him, you would never know that he did anything to do with medicine. So this is where gifts and passion has to be. Just follow the gifts that God has blessed you with and focus on that, and you will thrive. And just so you know, that's why I'm sort of bringing it back to what Rob was talking about on Tuesday, that actually it's down to gift. That gift is something God has put in you, and you've got to reflect on it and pray about it, and then he will show you the way. So that's the idea stage. That can give you different ideas. So when you look at that, when you reflect on Romans 12, look at those gifts, look at yourself, see where your passion lies, the things that you, that lights a fire, that when you talk about it, when you think about it, it makes you like, wow, drives you that. Because everybody has a gift in them. God has put something in everybody, and we all don't have the same thing. So you just got to focus on the thing that God has given you. So that's the idea stage. The second thing to start is about your practical first steps. So it's about getting your first client. And this is really, it's perhaps a bit nerve-wracking, and you can always start small. Start with your inner circle. So start with your friends, your family, because it's a safe space. You know, that thing you have, you want to hone it a little bit. You want to, provide some of those services to them. Like, I'll give you an instance. Miss Alina sort of like taught Arabelle how to do the sourdough bread. And so Arabelle has been practicing it, and so she did sourdough bread for some of Ruth's friends, and they had the bread, and one of the women said, oh, she's been having issues with her tummy, and then she's had this bread, and she's not had it, and then that she would like to pay Arabelle to make the bread for her. So she's got a couple of customers that she can try. I'm not saying she'll end up becoming a baker, but she's got into this bug of baking and making breads and stuff like that. So you know, she's wanting to monetize it. That's, you know, so it's just, again, it's, you, when you start with your inner circles, friends and family, you know, you can then from there build your testimonials from there, you know, ask for feedback. The other thing is also, when you get your feedback, so also you also want to tell your story. So like sometimes you see some of this corporate ad is really very, it just doesn't feel right. You know, tell your personal story. Tell your story. Let people hear your story. Let it be authentic. Let it be. Don't, you know, like when you see all this advertisement when say, oh, we do this, we do that. No. It's just, why do you do it? You know, what is it you're trying to do? Let it come across. Because the thing about it is that when you do something that you love and you're passionate about, it comes across and people feel that passion. They want to buy that passion. You might not be, sorry, I thought you had your hands up. They might not, people do buy authenticity. People do buy passion. They see it and they want to be connected with you. They feel it, they want that energy. And when you're doing something you love, that energy comes across. So it's really something. So always encapsulate it into your story. Tell your story. Just tell your story, how you started it. People want to hear that. That's how you sell. Another thing within that is also when you're collaborating, sometimes in trying to start up a new idea or a new business, it might be two friends, it might be family members that are coming together to do it, or it might be, you know, whatever you do, if you're trying to do it not on your own with somebody else, my suggestion will be try and write out, if something happens, how you're going to sort of like go your different ways. So not necessarily me, I have a friend who's got an accounting practice and he's had like, he deals with a lot of small businesses with people that come up with different ideas and start up very small and then grow. And he's had quite a few clients that have gone into trouble in the sense that they were friends, they started out this business together, but energies changes, some people go off and have kids and all that sort of stuff, and they want to do different things, but they are stuck in this joint venture thing where somebody's working hard and making the money, and then somebody's, do you know what I mean? It starts to, so at the stage before you start, I would say think about what happens when the business doesn't, you know, you guys want to go your separate way. Think about it, write it down, and get some legal advice. And the lawyers are quite good. It'll probably be an hour's worth of work anyway. They'll just tell them what you're looking for, how your exit plan, and they'll write it out for you. You guys agree. So because you're still in good relationship, you want to make sure you write that down. This is really very important, especially if you're doing it with friends, and because things do go wrong sometimes, quite a lot. So please make sure you think about that. The other thing to think about is also insurance. That even if you're doing it for free, anything you do, whether you're selling goods or services, whether you're baking anything, you need to make sure you have proper insurance, because especially if you're selling as a self-employed, the way the law sees you is that you are the person, and so somebody can sue you personally for it. And if you've got a home, if you've got stuff like that, all that could be, I mean, we live in a very litigious society. So I would plead with you, as you're starting now, one of the first things you want to do is to make sure you get proper insurance in place. Get insurance in place to protect yourself, just in case. You don't need it. Do you want to say something?
Sorry, is that public liability insurance?
Yeah, you can get public liability insurance, but you can also get product liability insurance too. So if you're selling something, if you're giving advice, like a lot of firms, they do that. I mean, like, for example, for my personal stuff, my professional registration, I have to register every year, and part of my condition for registration is that I have to have an insurance that they have to approve, that they want to know the details of my policies and all that, because they know that if it goes wrong, so if I gave somebody a wrong advice or I told them something that went wrong, I could have, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds of lawsuits on my head. So even if the advice wasn't paid for, even if you gave a free advice and somebody made a decision based on that advice and it turned out to not be correct, you could end up with a big liability. So it's really quite important. The other thing is about start small and stay agile. So don't give up your day's job. If you're starting out, people will tell you, oh, you know what, just get a loan, you know, try and get about the first 100 customers, just keep going, you know, you'll get a business plan of, you know, look, all I'll say is, you're enjoying something you do, just enjoy it. You know, just be patient, it will grow. It definitely will grow. If that's what the Lord wants you to do, it will grow. Just take it one step at a time. Also, there's about what sort of setup, you know. So like what I always say is, avoid trying to set up a company very quickly, because when you set up a company, you've got all this, you've got to, at the end of the year, you've got to do your year-end accounts, you've got to deal with corporation tax, you've got to do all, there's all sorts that comes into play. So my advice would be, when you've got an idea, just start first with, you can register. So once you start earning money, you can register with HMLC as self-employed, you can declare the income and whatever you've made there. It's simple enough. I mean, with a bit of guidance notes, you can do a simple tax return. It's most ideas will be very simple enough. And with that bit, and I would say start very simple, because it helps you understand it. You know, so obviously begin as a sole trader. And then when you grow and your turnover grows bigger, then you can then think about, okay, I'll become a company and all that. So those are the first two. Then we come into the third part, which is the financial and legal formalities as you grow. So one of the things to think about as your idea grows and you see the thing that you've put your effort into growing, you want to set up a separate bank account. So this is really very important, because although you're still self-employed, you can always ask the bank that you just want a separate bank account where you want to make sure all the income you're earning and all the expenditure you're spending, you can actually have a good record of it. And also there are times that before you started the business, you might have spent your own money to get the business all up and running and get the business set up. Now, the reason why I say this is because at some point, you would have to do your tax return. At some point, and there are some people that, I mean, the way HMRC goes is, I'm not saying they will come to you just because they tend to focus on the bigger guys. They might say, look, we want to do a review of you, or we want to do a tax investigation. You want to make sure, I'm not saying you're going to be investigated with tax, but you want to make sure you're prepared. And I think the way to put HMRC at bay is to flood them with information. So you can tell them from the start of your business, this is how much you've earned, this is how much you spend, this is your bank account, this is how much you've put in. The other thing is that I always hear people say, oh yeah, my accountant takes care of that. No, your accountant is not responsible. When you get those letters, your accountant might be copied in, but you're technically responsible. If you're investigated, your accountant is not being investigated, it's you being investigated. So you need to make sure you understand your business. If you can't understand what your accountant does, then you don't have a good accountant. You need to understand it, and you need to understand your business. You need to know how much is coming in, how much is going out, how much you've put into the business, and you need to be able to have documentary evidence. The way to deal with HMRC is you overwhelm them with details, and they'll just be quiet. I guarantee you that. Big meticulous. Make sure you keep good records. And then, as I said earlier on, when the company grows a little bit, then you can set up as a company and you can get some advice. I know, like, as you start to grow, obviously you would need some, of course it's easy to set up a company. I mean, they've made it quite easy now. You can set up a company, you get registered with HMRC, you can set up with payroll and all that. But I would just say, make sure you just get some advice around how to bring all that together. There are lots of software, some of them free with the bank where you start. They actually give it to you to start. But as much as you take control of understanding your books, understanding what comes in, for the technical aspect of it, you know, you can get your accountant to deal with it, but make sure you understand you understand it. And if they tell you, oh, don't worry about it, we'll deal with it, no, actually you want to understand it. So that's really quite good to know. Also, try and avoid taking a loan. So like I've seen some people that say, you know what, I have this idea, I'm just going to start it, I'm going to drop everything I'm doing, I'm going to get a loan, I'm just going to put everything into it. Now they said, you know, higher risk, higher return. Well, that's great, but you don't want to quench that passion you already have in you. You want to be able to enjoy it. And the trouble is that you take this loan, you've got to pay the loan back. You know, you start worrying about where the next bill is going to come from. But, you know, this is supposed to be something you're supposed to enjoy and be passionate about, rather than having this noose on your neck. I'm not a believer of, some people might advise differently, but I'm not a believer of, unless it's really necessary, don't don't tie your neck with noose on with loans. Try and do it out of your own pocket. If it means you, and also bring the family together with it, because sometimes by starting up a new entity might have impact on the family in the sense of, you know, there might be more expenditure on the business, there might be time commitments. So as a family, you've got to bring them along to that. There are also things to remember, too, that whilst you're setting up your own business, there's some things that you can take into account, like when you work from home and your home is your own office too. I mean, there's a simplified expenses with the HMRC where I think it's about £312 a year. But you can also, if technically you have a room in your house, there is a calculation you can do to actually claim some of that expenses back. So there are things that you can do to help reduce some of your taxes as when you get to it. And also, the other thing is also when you start earning, when you start, the business starts growing, you need to make sure you register as for self-employed, make sure that you register with that. Even if at the end of the day, you don't even end up paying any taxes, because you might not, just make sure you're registered and, you know, you keep, as I say, keep proper records. One of the people you don't want to, the problem with HMRC is like the way they operate is that they could end up spending £1,000 to get £10 from you, or less than that, and it could keep going on and on. And the minute they realize that you don't really have it with you, you're not quite there yet, they just keep biting. So that's one to take note of. And then just to conclude, you just got to trust God in your endeavors. Trust God that He's giving you, blessed you with this gift. He's blessed you with this idea. And also, it's not a case that you can actually do this thing for a season. It doesn't mean that this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. It could be for a season. And after you've done it for a season, you can move on to doing something else. But I think the key really is about your love and your enjoyment of doing it. I think that's about that. So I think I'm just going to wrap up because I can say my time is I'm going to stop now because I've been doing a lot of talking. So if there's any questions, anything anybody wants to ask.
I have a few questions actually, but coming back to that first point about embracing your gifts, how do you know your gifts? How do you measure them? Like, so when I was Ben's age, like, I was absolutely convinced that my future was to be a lead guitarist. Somehow that didn't happen. I'm not quite sure why, but that was the gift that I was convinced that I had back then. And still had a bit of it, but it didn't happen. So, like, how do you sort of determine what your gifts are without, you know, falling into the ditch of actually thinking you have a gift that you don't have, or a gift that's not
going to
lead somewhere?
Well, that is true. I think, and this is where it's really important to get some feedback. But also, I think this is where, I think if you're not good, like, for example, if you're good at something, if you, not just good at something, because you could be good at something but not passionate about it, but if you do something, if there is that feeling you get that, you really feel like, I really want to do this. When I do it, I enjoy doing it. I'm good at doing it. I've tried it. I look forward to doing it. Then it's most likely you've got to.
You need to add to that it's when feedback comes back to you that you're not only good at it, you're passionate about it, but the feedback coming back is good and realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and absolutely, you're absolutely right. So I think it's the feedback thing is really quite. Feedback is really quite good, and I would say you want to get feedback from not just even if you've got friends and family, just say to me, can you give it to me straight? Because you really need, I think feedback is one of the most important cornerstones. You need to get feedback. Don't just look for people that will tell you, oh, you're so great. No, you need to tell people, you need people that will say, look, you know, that you need feedback, you need constructive feedback. Sometimes you might get unhelpful feedback, but that's also good because it means that you can take it all in. I think you're right, feedback is really quite important. I mean, there are times I've done certain, like even in my career and my journey, and when I've looked at some of the feedback I've got back from some of the things I've done, they're saying things that I didn't think I have, that I from the feedback I get, I was like, oh, okay, actually, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that this is how people feel about my services. And do you know what I mean? So it's a real, I do think feedback is good because you actually even realize things about yourself that you don't, you haven't really thought about. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's, if that helps.
I have heard people say, if you make mistakes or things go wrong, don't get all really down and negative
Absolutely. And actually, the thing about it is that even your customers like it. So, like, if you make a mistake, own up to it. I'm sorry, I've just made a mistake. It was, you know, it's, and you learn from it. You take it on. Don't try and hide. Don't try and sweep it under the floor. You know, just own it and just like, I'm sorry. Because we're human. The newsflash, you would make mistakes. I mean, I've had this sort of conversation with Alba before where, you know, sometimes she gets into this realms of, well, this is going to be perfect, but actually it doesn't. Sometimes perfection is the enemy of the good. You know, you need to, perfection will make you not start at all because you want it, oh, it has to be big. No, actually, you just go and start it and you would learn from it. Because how are you going to learn if you don't go out there and cringe at some of the things you do, if you know what I mean? So it's, yeah, you're right. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Could you say a bit more about why would you be thinking about starting up a
So there's two things to it. There's one about, I think for me the most important thing is about, oh, I wish I did. You know, I wish I did. You know, I mean, this thing I'm doing now, but I know I really love to do this. I know I'm trying to do this. I know I want to do this. But you know, it's that itch in you. You know, I think if you don't explore it, do it and be unsuccessful in it and then know that you've tried it than not trying it at all, because it would always be eating at you like, what if? And it, you know, when you've got that passion, it will keep itching at you, you know, like, you've got to do it. And it's easy not to do it. It's just like, you know what, I'm just going to have an easy life. I'll just go off and do my thing and, you know, I'll just ignore that thing. But actually, God has created us in this way, you know, he's put it in us, you know, just go out there. It's put it out there for you to help, you know, to bless people out there, you know, just like Daniel and Robert blesses us every Sunday and in also the work they do. You're actually blessing people. You're actually making people's day, you know. And so, you know, I remember because I do some work with some non-profits, and it was a church that was, I was closing down, I think it was one of like an Assemblies of God thing. I think the minister was retiring and all. It was a very small church and they were shutting down anyway. And so I was helping them with the process and I did a lot of work for them. In the end, the minister wrote to me and he sent me a check and he said, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you very much for all this work you do. I know you haven't asked for this, but we've had a meeting and we've agreed that we want to bless you with this. And I was like, wow, okay. It's you don't really realize the impact you have until you've actually done it. So that's what I would say. Just it's easy and comfortable in the knowns, but sometimes we gotta come out of the unknown. Sometimes it's okay. It's exciting and it's scary, but it's okay. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not. We just don't find it. It's very. I do struggle a lot, especially with. There's a lot of. I would say it used to be that integrity was really the core of how business is, a lot of business, but at the moment now it's not. Unfortunately, it's not. And I think people are craving integrity. People are, you know, it's okay if you're not a specialist in this. That's okay. People are happy with that. People just want somebody that says, I'll do this, and then they actually do it. So, and that's a real key thing. It's like, if you say you're going to do something, you stick to it. If you say, I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock in the morning, you be there at 10 o'clock in the morning. And if you can't actually make it at 10 o'clock, you let them know. Do you know what I mean? It's that your word, and you stick to it, and, you know, and also, so it's also, there's the thing about, you know, yes, you can have the gifts, yes, you can have the passion, but, you know, you have to show up.
Well, you said there were two things
So what was that? Oh yeah, so there are two things. So the other thing is, the other thing was about, I remember the question. So it was, and also because of the cost of living crisis we're living in now, people are having to think about like, okay, what else can I do to substitute the house income and stuff like that? So there are things that people are thinking about that. So there's the passion bit, which is great, but there's also the part around, okay, how can I substitute income? And so that is, so this that kind of helps fill that framework too. So it's like, and so if you're going to do that something, that second thing, that could help. And but it means that you're not burnt out. You're actually doing something that could end up growing. So thanks for I just missed. I missed my train of thought. But I think it's like, you know, like there are seasons in life where, you know, sometimes you just gotta be out there and just do something. Like I remember like when I initially came to this country initially, one of the first jobs, I actually used to work in McDonald's. I used to do like a night shift, and I used to do like I used to do like the dive. Do you know what it's called? Dive? Dive is like the washing up. And it's like, and it was all right. And when I used to work there, I was one of the most cheerful person there. And they were like, what are you cheerful about? But you see, it was all part, you know, I just felt like it was a season, it was a time in my life, you know, and that's fine. It really worked out for me because it meant that I could do, I used to go like 6:30, like I used to do like the evening shifts. I'll be there for like 6-7 and then I'll work till the morning and then I'll go to college in the morning and all that sort of stuff. So it fitted in with what I was doing at that time, and it's all right and it's for a season. But you know, it's, I would say, you know, at the end of the day, you're out there, you're doing something, and that's the key really. So yeah, and sometimes you have to do this, as you said, you know, just as for a season of a life. It's not forever, it's just for a season, just to keep things going. And as you know, with the way things are, we just have to do that.
I would have another sort of, this is a bit of a personal kind of question on this. It's like, there's two things in life which go in one of my ears and straight out the other. One is foreign languages, like it's just cannot retain it. And the other one is finances. Okay? Finances I just can't cope with, you know, just completely. So when I look at this, I think, oh, that sounds good. There are certain things I can do, and I sort of have a side gig going on anyway. Although I haven't followed any of the instructions you've given here, so I'm going to revisit. But there's almost like a barrier to me, which is like when I look at this, I think, oh, you know, it sounds really nice. You know, I can do something I'm good at and passionate about, and can earn a bit of extra money, and then it's like, oh, setting up another bank account and legal this and that. It's like there's a barrier that I just can't find difficult to cross. What advice would you give to someone?
What advice would you, I was like, don't worry too much about it. I'll say to you, I remember I think it was Root's dad I was trying to help out with something. I think it was his, I was trying to get him into, this is like over a decade ago. He was, his whole system was all over the place, and he's very good at coming up with new ideas. He's what I call, he gets a new idea and he goes ahead with it.
Right.
He becomes successful in it, but there's a lot of chaos that happens at the end. So in the end, I tried to set him up in using like a software.
Yes.
And the software was created, I think there's this particular software, it was created by it was created by somebody who wasn't an accountant, who is not an accountant. So he'd used all sorts of accountancy types of, and he was just like, you know what, this doesn't work for me, I just need something that is simple, that I can see. So if you can almost use like a shopping trolley, if you can do your online shopping, you can use it. It's so simple, you don't have to worry about the technicalities of it.
Right.
And so there are some softwares that are out there that are quite easy to use. And also, if you've got a bank account and you've set up already have a bank account, it's just it's, I wouldn't worry too much about
it's
that.
It's probably just laziness on my part.
It's just, it's, there are some softwares that you can use that really makes the process very simple. It connects directly to your bank, so you don't have to like download your drawings. It just connects directly to your bank,
yeah.
And then you just go onto the dashboard. It shows you all your transactions. You say what the transaction is. You just click, 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 click. That's done. It tells you what your bank balance is. It tells you what you spent it on. Pretty much ready. So you could do it in an evening.
I was going to say, I went self-employed in March 2000, and I tend to take a day out every year to do my tax return. And honestly, I'm totally maths phobic, and it is fairly straightforward. It's just like common sense. They change the rules now and then. I mean, I don't have an accountant. They change the rules now and then about what you can claim as expenses, don't they? Like, one year they'll say, and your computer is 100% tax deductible.
Sorry. I think you. I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think what is. I think from 2026, I think when you, they're gonna bring it in line with VAT. So currently, if you're turning over about 90K, you gotta have to do your quarterly VAT returns. So now going forward, from they're gonna be what's called MTD, making tax digital for. Self-employed. So what that means is that you couldn't just do those returns anymore. It's going to be all online, but you have to be above a certain threshold, and you have to do it 4 times a year. So essentially, they want to be able to see the income that has come into the bank. So they want you to connect their. They want you to use an accounting software, and then you got to file your returns 4 times a year, but it has to be over a certain threshold.
Yeah, well, I've never bothered to set up an MC company or go VAT registered.
No, this is, but this wouldn't be, this is for self-employed.
Yeah, so I'm registered self-employed.
Yeah, You wouldn't, I don't think it's only for, at the moment, it's, they're only looking at businesses that, like self-employed people that are, I think it's mainly for the landlords. So like if you're doing about 100K a year or something like that in terms of your overall income, or like 90K, then you have to do it 4 times a year, and they want to see the actual, they want to see the money you've made so that they can start taxing. Because they're currently taxed in advance, in advance, but they really want to, they want to see more, they want to get the money quicker. sorry about that, but that's kind of where they're going. That's the direction of travel. Yeah.
I was just going to say, if your wage comes in, I found out through HMRC recently, if you're paid KYE for an employer, you've got £1,000 to earn for a self
It depends on that, yeah. And also what you have to remember too is that if you've put money into it, so it's net, the income for self-employed is not just that, but you've also got the fuel, they've also got, I'll probably use mileage, and you've got your working from home and all that sort of stuff. So it's the net, really. So yeah. I wouldn't worry too much about that. Yeah. Yeah, they can set up a business. They can. There's some certain rules around that though, around restrictions on how they work and the employers they work for. But technically you can, yeah. So like, and it's public tax good because it means that. So for example, if Rob wanted Ben to do some work for you, it could be a way that you could pay Ben, and yeah, Ben is just working for his dad and doesn't have to pay. So yeah, that could be a way to go around it. But you've got to be about 13 plus, yeah. But then there are some rules that you have to have in place to make sure that they are working, so they are not working during school hours and all that sort of stuff.
I think we need to thank you so much
cool.
for that, Andrew. It was really helpful. So round of applause.